Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Well, as you saw in our video, we are starting a new series, and I want to kick it off with a story. It's an adaptation of Luke chapter 24. If you were familiar with Luke 24, you know it's a very special chapter. But I got a little bit of a fictional prelude to it. So here we go. You ready for a story? How many of you like stories? If you don't, that's too bad. You're going to get one anyway. So it'll be a good. I hope it'll be good. Here we go. The faint crow of a rooster echoed in the pre-dawn darkness as Cleopas stirred awake. The usual morning sounds signaled the beginning of the workday, a cart rolling in for the market, the thud of crates and baskets being unloaded, a broom sweeping, the dull clank of bells and a soft meh as a herder led his goats down the street, whispers a fisherman walking by the window. Mary was up making breakfast in the next room. Cleopas rolled out of bed. The market, yes, that was first on the agenda. Regardless of what the others might be doing today, he needed to get there early. In the upheaval of the last few days, food was the last thing on his mind, yet he knew Mary would be concerned about getting back to their children in Emmaus and bringing the much-needed supplies with them. They were both quiet as they ate breakfast. Yesterday's Sabbath was not much of a rest day, and today wouldn't be either. Their children would have gotten a start on the chores back home, but there was still much to do. The animal pen needed repairing, a couple cows were about to give birth, and they needed to replenish supplies for making baskets to sell this week. Time to get started on the 11-kilometer journey home before the sun became too intense. Cleopas pulled the cart behind him down an alley, still trying to sort out Friday's events. Around him, everything and everyone seemed oblivious. People were talking and laughing. The calls of vendors advertising their wares was getting louder, and the crowd at the market was already thick with people buying and selling. In the distance, builders could be heard. Maybe the bustling reality of a normal workday would distract him. A short time later, Cleopas and Mary were on their way home. "Now what?" Mary asked. "Well, I'll get started on the pen as soon as..." "No, not that. Now what do we do? I'm still trying to understand. Do you believe the women? That his body is gone?" Back and forth they went, emotions frayed. Their conversation became heated, a mix of discouragement and frustration. The one they had put such hope in, now gone. "What are you arguing about?" asked a stranger who had pulled up beside them. They stopped. Wearied and perturbed at the interruption, Cleopas had had enough. "Are you serious? Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know what's happened these past couple days?" "What things?" he asked. Rolling her eyes, Mary sighed deeply. "Jesus of Nazareth, the powerful prophet whom our jealous leaders had crucified? We had hoped he was the one come to redeem us from Roman oppression, but they killed him. It's been 3 days, and now some of the women say his body is gone. Some angels in a vision told them Jesus is risen, but no one has seen him." "Now you are the foolish ones," the stranger laughed. Cleopas and Mary looked at each other and then back at the stranger, who began to recite scripture from Torah and the prophets, some obscure verses. He said, "We're talking about what the Messiah would go through." They resumed walking, listening with curiosity as the stranger kept talking. Time flew, and soon they saw Emmaus up ahead. The stranger offered a farewell and gave the impression he was going further, but Mary urged, "Please stay with us. It's getting dark." He smiled and followed them. They were greeted by the shouts of the children, happy to see their parents. Cleopas unloaded the cart, went to check the cows, and passing by the broken pen, he sighed, tomorrow's task. Soon supper was ready. They sat down to eat. Cleopas prayed. Mary offered bread to the stranger who took it, closed his eyes, and uttered a quiet blessing. As he broke the bread and passed it to the others, something like pure light and energy exploded inside Cleopas and Mary as the heaviness they'd carried was shattered by the realization of who this was in front of them. "Jesus," Mary exclaimed, just as he disappeared in front of their eyes. In shock, no one moved. Suddenly, Cleopas jumped up, pulled Mary to her feet. Didn't our hearts burn with fire while he was explaining the scriptures to us? How could we have been so blind? Come, we must go back to Jerusalem and tell the others. You know, this new series we're beginning called Spheres, Bridging the Gap Between Sunday and Monday. And I've been really excited about this series because it's connecting into something new that we're launching in this fall with new groups that are going to be on Tuesday nights. But it's also, I'm excited because it's something that I've carried for the last 5 years. And due to just, you know, other extraneous circumstances like a pandemic, it kind of wasn't seeming to roll out how we had envisioned it. But now is the time. Everyone say, now is the time. Now is the time, and I really am excited about this. But over the next few weeks on Sundays in this series, we are going to dig into and ponder and wrestle with questions like, what am I here for? What is salvation for? Those of you who are Jesus followers, have you thought about that? What is salvation for? Here's a hint. It's not just saved for heaven someday or a better life now. Or maybe this question hits home. How can I make my life really count for something? Do I have to be a missionary to do that? Do I have to go on some big, you know, excursion to go, you know, build something significant in Mexico or some other country and do something for really poor people in a foreign country? What about my everyday life? I've got 4 mouths to feed. How can I do something significant? I know this is important, but it's kind of boring. Or maybe this simple question. How can I close the gap between my Sunday faith and experiencing God's presence and my Monday morning reality in the real world? We're going to look at those questions. We're going to dig into them. We're going to ponder them. We're going to wrestle with things that are along those lines over the next several weeks. And today is kind of like a long intro for the whole series. And this opening story is actually, most of it is a true story from Luke 24, 13 to 33 in the New Testament. And it's the story of what happened on the resurrection day when Jesus rose from the dead. Can you give a great big thank you, Jesus? Can we just say that? Thank you, Jesus. He rose from the dead. And maybe you heard this chapter in an Easter sermon. This isn't going to be an Easter, well, it kind of is, but it'll be the most weird Easter story you have ever heard. But aside from, with the short fictional prelude, what felt different about this story than what it might have typically felt or what might typically be emphasized in an Easter Sunday resurrection story? What felt different? Maybe it felt, hopefully it felt, like it was leading into a very normal work day. Market, cows, breakfast. Builders, I'm going to work. But there's something I hope resonated with us with this story, because I feel like maybe it reveals something that many of us can relate to in our work, school, home with the kids' life. And it's this. We often don't recognize Jesus in our everyday Monday activities. How many of you would agree with that? You just, this is like, do you show up to work? Do you show up to school, students, or teachers? Do you show up to the job site? Do you open up your laptop to get started from work from home with this, like, oh, God's presence is so real. I just feel him, and he's just amazing. I'm just so overcome with love. Does anybody do that? Probably not. Do not feel guilty. But we fail to recognize Jesus in our Monday to Saturday routines. And there are 4 things from this story that I want us to look at, and 4 things to kind of set the table for this series and what we're going to look at from different angles and in different ways at different depths, because the whole goal of this over the next, not only the next 4 weeks, but over the next several months as we launch into something which I hope will really stir something in your heart as a Jesus follower. Because there's a shift that we really believe God is wanting to move us into and bring us to as followers of Jesus Christ that literally could change the trajectory of your life, but also become Monday isn't this, oh my gosh, oh, the week's starting. But you really might encounter the reality of God, maybe even in more real ways than what you do when the lights are down, this funky lights flash and it's purple or whatever your favorite color is, and you can close your eyes and sing your favorite worship song to Jesus and God feels so real. What if you could have that when you're teaching? What if you could have that when you show up to your desk students, to the class that you hate and you really wished you didn't have to take this semester? What if you could have that experience while you're driving to the job sites or while you're working on the pipes as a plumber or wiring things as an electrician or putting things together or fixing, changing someone's oil in the car or whatever else you do, maybe in your office, making ledgers balance? What if you could experience the presence and the reality of God in all of those everyday settings, when you're taking the kids to school, when you're getting everybody up, in all of those ordinary things? What if God, what if Jesus was as real in every single one of those circumstances as he does when it's all nice and the favorite worship song comes on, or it's quiet and you don't have to listen to anybody, you can just like be present with Jesus? What if he could feel that real? He can. And so the first thing we want to look at, 4 points. Number one, resurrection was on the first day of the week, our Monday. Listen to this, Luke 24. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, the women. They found the stone rolled away. They went in, but they did not find the body of Jesus. Suddenly, two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. These were the angels. He is not here. He is risen. Yes, he is. He is risen. And see, when we hear something like Resurrection Sunday, or typically when we maybe, you know, hear the resurrection story is Easter, it's Easter Sunday, because that's what you do. If you're a good person, a good Christian, you go to church on Easter, and it's usually a Sunday when you're celebrating. And when we hear Sunday, all sorts of filters and preconceived ideas turn on. We associate Sunday with, usually if you attend church, if that's part of your practice, you associate it with church. You associate it with worship, you associate it with the scriptures, maybe you associate it with rest or a day off. We have all these filters, but our filters are actually the wrong filters that the first century Jesus followers, the disciples that followed Jesus, they had none of those filters because it was Monday for them. The first day of the week, it was go-to-market day. Get kids ready for school. Get kids ready to go to Torah classes. Back in the field, back in the boat, back in the market, meet the girls down by the water to start the wash for the week. Haul the animals out to the field to graze, pack up the wagon to go to the city to sell your vegetables, your oil, your fish, whatever it was. This Monday, which was actually the first day of the week, that was the day God chose as Resurrection Day, not their Sabbath. And see, what does this mean? For the Jews, resurrection not being on the Sabbath day, their day of rest, but resurrection being on the first day of the work week, what that meant for the Jews was God is in Sunday as much as he's in Sabbath. For us, it means God is in our Monday, our Tuesday, our Wednesday, our Thursday, our Friday, our Saturday, as much as he is in our Sunday. Number two, here's the second one. So number one, resurrection was on the first day of the week, our Monday. Number two, they didn't recognize Jesus. Luke 24, 15 and 16. I love how this is worded in the Message translation. It says, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. This is just mind-blowing. As much as the him disappearing before their eyes is mind-blowing. But they're walking, which I'm like, what was going on here? Like, did he have a hood on his face? I remember growing up in Catholic, when I was the first young years of my life, I grew up Catholic. I remember going to Catholic school, and when the nuns would read this, I was like, why did they not recognize Jesus? Like, was he wearing a hood? You know, maybe he had his hoodie on or something. I don't think that was the case. For some reason, they did not recognize him. But here's the reality. He was with them, but they didn't recognize him. And a question for us is, when it comes to experiencing the reality of living Jesus, do we recognize him when he's with us at school, when we show up to our desk? Or do we struggle to see Jesus' presence and what resurrection actually means for the things and the issues of our Monday life? Do we have a hard time connecting the dots? If you do, that's okay. Most Christians do. In fact, I would venture so far as to guess probably 90, maybe 95% of this room struggles to connect. How is God with me? And this isn't just about sharing your faith at work or at school. This is so beyond that. That's important, but this is something so much bigger and actually less intimidating that you're going to discover over the next few weeks as we unpack this. This isn't about being the kind of person where you show up and you're praying all day or you're just sitting down at your desk and reading your Bible. You were not hired to read your Bible all day. You were not hired to sit in your classroom and just pray for the students. Even though that might be a lot easier some days. You were not hired to show up at the job site and just lay hands, you know, on the frame and hope it all comes together. You were not hired to speak in tongues and yell at the books that you're supposed to be, you know, balancing and the ledge, all the things you're supposed to be putting in and hope it all just comes together. Oh, Jesus will just make it all work out. Jesus, that is not what we're talking about. Do we struggle to see Jesus' presence and what resurrection means for the issues and things of our Monday life? Someone once described this as practical atheism. We do believe in Jesus, but we just don't live, or we don't know how to live in a way where our faith connects to the practical things of life. We've got this compartmentalized life where we got our spiritual self somewhere, you know, it's the, I try to read my Bible, I try to pray, try to be a good person, I'm come to church, I'm worshiping, I'm sorry, we have that life, and then we have everything else in this other life, and none of it, we don't know that, this is a huge gap. We don't know how this works. And then we feel guilty because we're like not thinking about Jesus all the time. And we read that one crazy verse in Thessalonians that says, pray all the time. And we're like, how am I supposed to do that? Supposed to be balancing books. Supposed to be teaching third graders how to do math. But that's not how life is meant to work. Number three. So number two, he was with them, they didn't recognize him. Number three, they were discouraged. In verse 21 of Luke 24, it says, we had hoped he was the one. And you know, maybe for us it was something like this. I'd hoped this job would bring fulfillment. I really hoped I could make a difference through this business. I'd hoped to make a difference at school, and I'm in a different school. I don't know anybody, and I don't want to be here. I thought raising a family would look different. I thought I'd be more content at this stage in life. They were discouraged, they were confused, they were disappointed. These were two disciples. Now, Cleopas is named. The other disciple, the tradition has several different options. Much tradition supports that it was Mary. It was a husband and wife who were part of the disciples. Jesus had 12 disciples that were with him. He also had a group of 70 and maybe even more that were with him all the time. And some believe that this was Cleopas and Mary who'd been in Jerusalem for everything that was going on, and now they were going home. It's just like doing one lap around Telford Lake, if you're familiar with Leduc. It's just about a little bit more than a lap around. That's how far it was to their home. But they were discouraged, confused, and disappointed. And if that is you when it comes to, I don't see how this Jesus stuff fits, or maybe you do know and you're like, oh, I get excited. I feel like something's stirring in my heart and there's something growing in me and I just don't know what to do. I feel like, man, I love my job and it's so awesome. But I feel like, man, how can I make a difference in this work? You know what? If you're feeling anywhere from a positive experience about how do I live out my faith in my Monday morning experience, if you're over here and you don't see how they connect, or maybe you do see how they connect and you're really just like, oh man, what we're starting this fall, Spheres groups, you'll be hearing a lot about that over the next couple of weeks, but we're going to be starting these on Tuesday nights. Our Spheres groups are going to tackle these very things. How can you have the worst job in the world and yet show up and live it with a sense of fulfillment in this job? It is possible. And it's not just praying more. Although that's important, that would be a great place to start. But number four, this is one that's really funny. Jesus told them their story. Now listen to this, 24:27 says, then beginning with Moses, which would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, that's what that refers to, five books, the beginning of your Bible, and all the prophets, he, Jesus, interpreted for them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Why didn't Jesus just go, hey guys, it's me? Do you ever wonder about that? Like, why did he not just say, okay, it's me, just fooling? Why did he take them through the scriptures? Why did he tell them the story? Well, how do you understand the Jesus story? How do you interpret the story of Jesus? Do you know why he came? It wasn't just to save us from our sins so we could go to heaven someday. Do you know what his resurrection means? It doesn't mean you're going to rise from the dead and go to heaven someday. That's not what Jesus' resurrection means. Now, we will rise from the dead, but that's not what resurrection meant. See, the story for first century Jesus followers, for Jews following Jesus, the story was about kingdom. Luke 24:21 gives us a code word. When they said they were speaking to Jesus and they said, we were hoping that he was the one who was about to redeem Israel. Now, redeeming is a very interesting word, and we'll get to that in a minute. But right now, I want to release anybody that is getting baptized this morning, whether you had registered for baptism, we filmed your story, or you just here this morning, someone told you there was baptism, and you showed up, and you're just like, I'm going to get baptized. I didn't tell anybody. Is that okay? You can get baptized. We actually have clothes for you to change into. If you want to get baptized, you didn't bring anything. They will see you. If you want to just make your way out the back door, and the team will be back there to serve you and help you get set up for that. It's going to be exciting in a few minutes. But what does it mean that they were waiting and hoping that he was the one who would redeem Israel? Now, redeem, that is code word. In our minds, we think sins forgiven. We think, oh, Jesus is going to make me brand new and I'm going to go to heaven someday. That is such a pathetic definition of what that word means. See, in these Jews, in their mind, what redeem in a Jewish mindset, who was understanding who this story started with, to say we were hoping he was the one about to redeem Israel, redeem meant God freeing his people from oppression and his kingdom being set up on earth. Now, when we talk about God's kingdom, we have a weird framework for kingdom because we think of kings, we think of the monarchy over in Britain, and we all have varied opinions about them based on how many seasons you've watched of The Crown. You either love and respect them and feel very sorry for them, or you hate them. But this is not the kind of kingdom Jesus was about. See, kingdom was Jesus' mission. Luke 4, it says, Jesus said to them in Luke 4:43, it's necessary for me to proclaim the good news about the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because I was sent for this. I was sent, what Jesus said, I was sent to bring the good news that God's kingdom was arriving now ahead of schedule on earth. See, in the Jewish minds, they understood at the end of time, God's kingdom was going to arrive. God was going to return. He was going to set up his kingdom on earth, heaven on and earth, originally that were designed to be together. They got separated because of the fall, man's selfishness. But God's plan has always been about reuniting. And God's kingdom simply means, it means the way life works when God's ruling. It's life that's defined by God's goodness and his rightness, his peace, his joy, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we talk about God's kingdom. It's a certain way of being where life just flows together and it clicks. So what does this, and this is what's so bizarre, because in the Gospels, once you see this, you can't not see it. In the stories of Jesus, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first four books of what's called the New Testament. You know what word is repeated more? Salvation or saved. It's repeated. You find that word 31 times in those four books. Forgiven or forgiveness, 40 times throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But kingdom, 114 times. See, Jesus' mission is so much greater than just the salvation of mankind and the forgiveness of our sins. That is an important thing, but if you look at what his message was about bringing God's kingdom so that all, every sector, every sphere of society, all of the spheres of our influence, all of that would in some way reflect God's goodness and rightness. Can you imagine a justice system that reflected the rightness of God? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Can you imagine an economic system that actually functioned the way it was supposed to function to allow for the flourishing of human life, but also creativity? Socialism isn't the answer. Can you imagine a system where, when there was poverty, it wasn't just left up to programs. It's actually humans loving others. See, that's what God's kingdom is meant to be. God's kingdom is meant to redeem all of those areas. So what does it mean for us? Well, number one, here's the question. What is our Emmaus Road? What is your Emmaus Road? Where might we be going about our daily routine and might need our eyes open to see and recognize how Jesus is already working with us? Did you know when you show up to work tomorrow, when you show up to school on Tuesday, when you show up to wherever you normally are, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, wherever you show up to that place on Tuesday, do you know God is already there? Working to try to bring peace in your office. God is already there, wanting to make sure that job site is safe and that work gets done effectively, work gets done excellently, work gets done in a way that people go, whoa, that is a really nicely framed house. Where do we need our eyes open? How might we be living in practical atheism, disciples who believe in Jesus, but we're just not seeing or feeling the way in which God is connecting our faith to the practical things of life? Number two, here's another question to consider. Where is discouragement or confusion or maybe disappointment threatening to hold us hostage to a boring Sunday-only faith? Maybe it's time for an upgraded picture, an upgraded understanding of what salvation actually is. If you're not yet a Jesus follower, you know what? You can say yes to following Jesus on the greatest mission on the planet. And for those of us who are Jesus followers, how might we better live on mission with what God is doing and desires to do in our everyday spheres of influence. You have a sphere of influence. Might be big, might be small, but we all have a sphere of influence. I love what one author, Amy Sherman, and she's also a coordinator who coordinates all sorts of, mobilizes, trains people, equips people for how to live. What does a kingdom life look like in your job as a nurse, in your job as a tech, in your job as a business owner? What does this actually look like? She wrote this great book, and she said in it, she said, the invitation to follow Jesus is not just an invitation to spend eternity in his presence. It's an invitation to cooperate with him in making his world as much like he intends it to be before he returns. Our daily work, not so much that week-long summer mission trip or the Sunday worship service, is one of the primary places where we participate with God in his mission in the world. See, all of Jesus' interactions with his disciples post-resurrection, it was about mission. It was, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You guys go. Go make disciples of all nations. And guess what? All those nations? Nations doesn't just mean countries. It literally means community sectors. Go make disciples of the different sectors in the community. Go make disciples of sports teams. Go make disciples of classrooms. Go make disciples of job sites. Go make disciples of businesses. Go make disciples in a restaurant. Go make disciples of an economic system. Go make disciples in the justice system. Go make disciples. It's not just people, it's systems and groups. We'll be unpacking that more in the weeks to come. Go into all the world. Jesus said, preach the gospel. The good news was that the kingdom was coming. As Jesus, as the Father sent me, I also send you. And the last one, number three, how might the reality of Resurrection Monday radically transform our ordinary everyday activities? In other words, what does resurrection mean for how you do your school assignments? What does that actually mean? There is an answer for that, and we're going to give that to you over the next couple weeks. How do you get the kids, what does Jesus' resurrection mean for how you get the kids ready for the day? What does Jesus' resurrection mean for how you make sales calls, or how you hire people, or how you show up to the job site, or how you coach whatever team you're coaching? What does resurrection have to do with that? It has everything to do with it. That's why Jesus came on resurrection, first day of the week, our Monday, and not just Sabbath Sunday. What does a resurrection of Jesus mean for how you play basketball or volleyball or hockey? What does Jesus' resurrection mean for how you teach in a school setting where you're asked to keep your faith to yourself? What does Jesus' resurrection mean for that? What does Jesus' resurrection mean for your business strategy if you're a business owner, or your business priorities if you're a business owner? All of those questions are what we're going to explore in this series, and also explore together in our spheres groups that are starting in October, and we want to equip you in how to actually live this out, because that's why we're here as God's church. Now, if you would like more information, if you want to just pull out your phones right now before we end, and we're going to get our baptism guys in here. If you got the church app, let's go open up the City Life app. This is a work that we put information there simply to be able to just help spread the word and give you guys idea, time to just mull over it, chew on it, look at it, just go, I still don't get that. Well, then just show up in October when we start these groups and keep coming on Sundays. It'll become more clear as we go. But there's a section on the app in the bottom right corner. It says more. If you go to that section and then scroll down a little bit until you come to spheres. It's got like a little bullseye icon on there. And just tap on it. And there's two sections. The introduction is a little bit lengthier. It goes in details of what do we mean by the spheres. Not, this isn't Sunday morning. What do we mean by the spheres groups that we're launching in come October when groups launch back up? This is one of the endeavors that we will be starting. And we are really believing it is going to mobilize every person, every age group, every sector. I don't care what you're doing, whether you are a full-time student or full-time mom at home with three-year-old children or babies or whatever, or you are a business owner or a tradesperson, everybody in between. The introduction gives you a longer explanation, and if you need visuals is the one that you want to click, and you can look at pictures, and it will explain a little bit more where we're going and the why behind why we're doing this. And so hopefully you can take a look at that a little bit more later this afternoon or whatever. If you got questions, just keep your ears open, your eyes open. But can I invite us all to stand? What a great opportunity we have as Jesus followers. And man, you know, I know there's seasons of life that can feel overwhelming. And you're thinking like, I've already got so much on my plate. How can I add something more in? This actually isn't about adding something more in. This is about receiving a new perspective, a new understanding of what resurrection actually means for you. There won't just be more on your plate, but it will be more effective and more fruitful in what's already on your plate. And can we just put our hand over our heart? Man, there's something, you know what? God is the only one that can get into our hearts. God is the only one that can bring that revelation of Jesus. Can we just pray this prayer together? Even online, if you want to join and pray with us, just say, Jesus, would you open up my heart? Open up my understanding. Open up my eyes to a fresh new revelation of you. I want to see where you are already present in my everyday Monday life. God, would you open up our hearts? Holy Spirit, would you come? God is your people, man. We know. God, we know we can sense. Some of you just, you sense, oh, man, there's been this thing I haven't been able to put my finger on. I just know there's more to life. I know there's more to my life. I know there should be more than just showing up to work or doing this or showing up to school or just being at home in this season. They're just like, what am I just doing? It feels like it's just a routine, and God just wants to breathe fresh life where routines become not just routine. They become this adventure. They become this amazing opportunity to experience the reality of Jesus, just like those disciples. Their eyes were opened in the everyday normal experience of breaking bread and eating. God, we want to see you like that. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to just, another prayer that we want to pray before we get to watch the awesome baptism stories. You know, if you've not been a follower of Jesus, or, you know, maybe you've kind of had some ideas about Jesus. God, like, I think there's something stirring in my heart. I don't know what that means. If you don't have peace, you know, you're not at peace between you and God. You know what? Today, this can be a brand new day, a brand new start, saying yes to following Jesus. It's a start of a great new adventure, and we would love to pray with you. And there's a prayer that we all pray together. We're going to invite you to pray it with us. There's nothing magical about the words, but it's simply language, giving you language to give expression to what's probably in your heart. You just don't know what to say. Don't know what to do. So, church, can we pray together to say, Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross, but you rose again so that I could have life here and now. I want to follow you. I want to live on mission with you, partnering with you in all that you are doing in the earth. Thank you, Jesus, for a brand new start today. Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.